Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super excited to have Michelle Gordon as my guest today. A literary alchemist, Michelle Gordon creates worlds with her words. Michelle began writing visionary fiction novels in 2009, but has always been an avid reader and passionate writer. She lives in between dimensions most of the time, so her books are mostly channeled. However, instead of the typical wise spirit guides, she got chatty, chocolate-loving fairies, shy mermaids, responsible angels, crazy aliens, oops, star people, and lost old souls coming through demanding that their stories be told. Her books paint such vivid pictures in your mind that it's difficult to come back to reality after reading them. Never fear, though, she publishes at least twice a year, so you never have to wait too long for a new story. Join us for 30 minutes of inspiration to go for your dreams and encouragement to live your music in your own unique ways. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am great. I am so happy to have you on the show, back on the show. It's been so much fun each one of the times that you've been on, and I actually hope that people will listen to the other shows I've done with you as well, because each time we focused on a different book or series of books. And this one, we're going to be focusing on your new book, The Twin Flame Rebellion, book 8 of the Earth Angel Training Academy series. Wow, it's amazing. I am so thrilled that I got to read an advanced copy of it. And I absolutely have to say, here's the honest to God truth, is I love it.
Yay.
I have enjoyed every single one of the books, but I swear, you know, this one is just super special. And I have to say, though, that people that have not read the books, they really need to read the first book and hopefully the other books to lead up to it as well, I think. But maybe you can tell people a little bit about the Earth Angel series, though, and a little bit about this book so that they can understand why I say that.
Well, yeah, thank you for saying that, because it's always a little bit nerve-wracking when I put a new book out. You know, even though I'm writing about sort of familiar characters and, you know, there's already people who are fans of the series, it's always a bit nerve-wracking to find out what they actually think of it. Because I know that the book 7 wasn't particularly popular because it was talking about twin flames that didn't get to be together, and nobody wanted to read that. But I wanted to, you know, portray that happens. You know, that's, you know, it's not unusual. So the Earth Angel series, so the series starts out on the other side in the fifth dimension, and it follows the stories of mermaids, angels, fairies, and star people who go to a training academy on the other side to learn how to become human. So the idea is that they are coming to Earth to be born into human bodies, to be Earth Angels, to help with the awakening and to shift the world, the planet, into the Golden Age. So two of the books, the Earth Angel Training Academy and The Other Side, which is book 1 and 3, they're both set at the training academy on the other side. And then the rest of the books, so books 2 and then all the books up to 8 are set on Earth, and we get to follow the stories of those characters in their human incarnation. And the latter books all relate to the twin flame relationship, so hence all the twin flame titles. So the rebellion is really about the twin flames trying to decide for themselves what they actually want to do, rather than having their fate decided for them. I don't know if that was too much of a spoiler. Should be okay.
I like that. One of the things I'm just picturing our listeners, some of the listeners, wondering about, though, is what is a twin flame? I really had not heard of that before I started reading your series, or at least not a lot. I didn't know a lot about it, and So if you could explain a little bit what twin flames are, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, so the twin flame concept, the, you know, the term even, I hadn't come across it until 2008, I think was the first time I'd read it. And there wasn't a huge amount of information. All I read was that the twin flames are kind of like ultimate soulmate relationship connections, and twin flames often only find each other when it's the end of an age, the end of an, you know, a time on this planet. So, you know, many of the twin flames came together in Atlantis, and at the end of a civilization, twin flames come together. So when I started writing the Academy in 2009, because the theme of it was that if the Earth angels don't come to Earth and they don't wake the planet up, it's going to be the end of civilization as we know it. That's why the twin flames were being brought back together, because the connection that they have and the intensity of the love that they experience between them would lift the vibration of the planet and change things. And if it didn't manage to do that, then at least people would have experienced, you know, the deepest, strongest kind of connection that they possibly could before the end. So most of what I know of twin flames really has come from writing the books, is what I've kind of channeled through the books. And then along the way, you know, I've kind of obviously read other things and heard other people talk about it. And I get people asking me all the time, you know, is he my twin flame? Am I going to meet my twin flame? And, you know, I'm not an expert on these things. Like I said, I know from my own experiences what it is to be with a twin flame, and I know from my writing. But the only thing that everybody seems to be agree on of how to recognize who, you know, somebody as your twin flame is that when you are with them, when you are in their company, you feel like you've come home. So
you feel like you've come home. Yeah.
You are, you don't need to be anywhere else. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to, you know, be around anyone else. You are just completely and utterly at home with that person. And one of the things that came through, the reason for that is that a lot of Earth angels don't feel like they're at home on this planet. You know, when they've come from the angelic realm, they've come from another planet, they've come from the elemental realm. You know, Earth is kind of a strange place. It's not, it doesn't feel natural to be here. So the idea of the twin flame connection is that you create that feeling of being home on this planet. But the problem with that is that if you have a separation from your twin flame, it makes you feel like you're homeless again. It makes you feel like you don't belong here. And that's why it's really difficult to be apart from a twin flame, because then you lose that sense of being home. So yeah, it can be an interesting ride to, you know, to meet twin flame and be with twin flame. So that's why, you know, as you know, throughout the books, you know, there are some pretty crazy things that the twin flames go through. To try and be together, and, you know, the separations and reunions and, you know, all the different possible things. But it is just this very, very intense connection with the person that you feel completely and utterly at home with. That's, you know, that's really the only way I can properly describe it.
Well, that's one of the things that I was noticing in Book 8 also, is that how Violet and Greg, also known as Velvet, and how do you say his name? Laguse, is it?
I say Laguse, yeah. I don't know if that's how you're meant to pronounce it, but that's how I say it.
That's kind of how it was in my imagination. That one of the things is, because they were feeling so at home, they were isolating themselves a bit. You know, they didn't feel like they needed to get out there into the world. And the world needs them to get out there to be able to help other people who are Earth angels to be able to feel comfortable with being Earth angels, I think, you know, also. And so I've noticed that even with my own relationship with Dudley, with my husband, is that we are so comfortable just being at home together or going on trips together or doing whatever, that it's really easy to get to a point where you just don't want to get out there and meet other new people and go places. And my friend Christy Earnshaw loves to say that you can't bless others by hiding. And it's so
Absolutely.
True. You know? And
I mean,
so,
yeah.
That's, I think, the one downside I see about people getting together with their twin flame is that they get so comfortable that they don't feel that they need to get out there and be with other people as much. Is that, do you think that's true?
Absolutely. I know that if it wasn't for my twin flame pushing me to get out there, I would quite happily stay tucked away in the woods, like Violet in the book. I mean, that was completely kind of true to life at that time. I just was not interested in getting out there and doing things and meeting people because I was just completely at home in that space, you know, with him. So that's, yeah, that's one of the tricky things about the relationship is that you do really need to create a space, you know, oxygen, you need to breathe between you, because if you don't create that intentionally, then you'll get to a place where you'll end up pushing away from each other anyway. And it is really tricky because it is so intense. And you, like I said, when you're not with them, you feel like you don't belong here. You feel sort of adrift and homeless because, you know, they are kind of an anchor to being here. So, yeah, I do need to be nudged to to actually get out of the door and go out and connect with people. And the thing is I love doing all of those things. You know, I love traveling. I love meeting new people. I love doing fairs and talks and workshops and all of that stuff. I really love doing it, but it's not as important to me as being in that relationship. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing with, you know, male and female as well, is that like females tend to put more importance on their mission. Sorry, females put more importance on the relationship and males on their mission. So if when females have a huge mission, it takes more effort for us to actually pursue that, you know, because it's more important for us to connect with people. So, so yeah, I think sometimes the twin flame relationships, and that's why when people ask me, you know, are they going to meet their twin flame or whatever, I just sort of go, look, focus on your mission, focus on your purpose for being here, focus on yourself, you know, really get into who you are, why you're here, what, you know, what your music is, you know, live your music, because the stronger you are in your knowing of who you are and what you're here to do, the easier it is to maintain that when you do meet your twin flame, if you're going to meet them, because you won't be kind of pulled off path, you won't be derailed from your purpose on this planet, because ultimately, you know, that's why you're here, kind of not, you're here to fulfill your purpose, not to meet your twin flame, although that is kind of a bonus, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a bonus. It's not the only reason. You're right. Everything you said sounds so true to me. And for one of the things that we had talked about before was that one of the things that's really a challenge to do in this life here is to be yourself, to really be yourself. And I think that one of the things that it's been the biggest lesson I've had to learn is to be myself. And I had finally started being more myself when my husband Dudley came into my life. But then once we got married, the first 2 or 3 years or more, I was like wanting so much to please him and be who he wanted me to be that I felt like I was losing my own identity and I didn't really even know who I was anymore. And that's part of what I write about in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, is about what happened with me and also helping my readers to go on a journey of self-discovery and remember who they really are, who they need to be here on Earth, not just who all the people that they love, including maybe a husband, wife, soulmate, twin flame, or whatever, or their children. Mm-hmm. Or society want them to be, and, you know, because we all get told, oh, you should do this, and you should do that, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can't do this because it's too hard, or it's too scary, or, you know, or maybe even the people that are around you are afraid they're going to lose you, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of different issues that are going on in relationships.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's so easy to lose yourself, you know, in a relationship, or even in a friendship, or within the family. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's tricky with family as well, because obviously they've known you since you were born, perhaps, or since you were very little, and they know you as that person you were when you were little, and they don't know, some of them won't get to know you as an adult. So it feels like every time I've moved, and I've moved a lot, I've lived in a lot of different places, I make new friends, and they get to know a different version of me to the previous people. And I've always kind of wondered what it would be like to get into a room, like all the people I know from all the different places in the world that I've been, because they would probably all know a different me, because they've got to see me at a different part of my, you know, evolving, you know, as a person. Because I think, yeah, at every year we sort of almost become a new part of ourselves. I mean, we were talking before and I was saying, you know, I'm starting to kind of embody more of a fairy spirit, you know, mm-hmm. as time goes on,
yeah.
which kind of seems like I'm regressing. I'm getting younger, because when I was young, I had a very old, you know, the old soul part of me was very prevalent. So I was just like an old person in a young body. And, you know, I was just so, you know, weighed down with responsibility and all this stuff. And I never really let myself just be a child and just be silly and have fun. And I just find it really important now to do that. And I still have to kind of make a conscious effort to do that. It doesn't come naturally to me, but I think, yeah, I need to do things that make, you know, that are silly, that might feel a bit embarrassing, but it doesn't matter. and yeah, so some people see me as having this very fairy-like energy.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because I remember, well, I'm Capricorn sun sign, and I remember, I don't, you know, follow astrology really, really carefully, but I remember them saying that how serious Capricorns were, and I didn't want to be, and that they're like older when they're younger and younger when they're older. But it does seem to be true. I seem to be getting, like you said, more of the young fairy part of me coming out as the older I get, and the one that wants to be playful and values fun so much. I remember when I was writing the book originally, there was a part where I was, somebody had asked me, what do I like to do for fun? At that point, I was so busy trying to please everyone else and wasn't even on my own to-do list that I was like, God, what do I like to do for fun? I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that's part of it. As what I've noticed also with reading all of your books, granted, yes, some of the books are more special to me than others, or that I enjoyed thoroughly than others, but they all have characters in them that interweave and that all have life lessons. And I've found that I can see myself in parts of different characters and see people I know in different characters. I mean, not necessarily like one character's all this person or that person, but I think mm-hmm. that reading your books is not only fun, because they are so amazing and so visual. I mean, the word pictures that you paint with your words is just amazing. I think it would be like a totally amazing movie or TV series, that maybe animated, where it was like beautiful animation like Disney used to do with Tinkerbell. You know, I can just picture it being so gorgeous, because there's just so many amazing things to see. But it's just, they're fun, the books are fun to read, and I've decided I think I want to start over and read the first one and go through them again, and then in sequence, because I really do enjoy them all, and just, it's a really great thing, everyone out there listening, for summer reading. It was last year, actually almost exactly a year ago, that I had you on my show mm-hmm. the first time, and we were talking about the Earth Angel Training Academy coming out with the 5-year anniversary edition, which I'm so mm-hmm. excited to have the paper copy of right here on my desk, and you signed it for me and dropped it off at Xander's house in California when you were down there.
Okay.
I'm so glad you got to meet him, and that he got to meet you and your mom, and then also that I got those books from you through him that he brought up here, and I was able to give to people, because, you know, there are so many earth angels out there, and I just love that giving that book to people, they can read about what it means to be an earth angel.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's funny you're saying, you know, see, people recognize themselves in the characters, and as you know, as time's gone on, I've met quite a lot of the characters from the books over the years, and then other people that I've met have become characters. It goes kind of both ways, but I think that's kind of why I love fiction. You know, there isn't a lot of spiritual fiction. I mean, visionary fiction is becoming a bigger genre now, but there isn't much of it. And I think the the fun thing with it being fiction is that people can recognize themselves in characters rather than just reading a list of characteristics and trying to figure out if that's who they are. And it's, yeah, it, like I said, it's fun. I mean, I don't write in a very kind of serious, descriptive kind of way. And yet, you know, a lot of people, like I said, can see visually what I'm writing about. It's like we tune into the same frequency of what I've written about, and you can just see it in your head what I could see in mine. And it just kind of comes across in the, you know, in the characters' actions and in the dialogue as well, because my books are quite action and dialogue driven. You know, things happen quite quickly. And yeah, I suppose, you know, they're kind of more filmic in that sense, because they're more like film scenes than they are, you know, book scenes. So I love writing them. I mean, it's funny to think now that when I first wrote The Academy, the first book in the series, it wasn't going to be a series. that was it. You know, it was like, that's why at the end of that book, there's 25 years later or 20 years later or whatever it was, I can't remember now, because I was just like, well, that's it. That's the story. And everybody who read that first book were like, well, hang on a minute, what happens? I'm like, what do you mean what happens? It says 25 years later and, you know, that's what happens. And they're like, no, seriously, what happens? And when I started to write The Awakening, which was the second book I wrote, the On Earth 25 years later thing, what I kind of imagined happened really didn't. You know, I started to write it and it was a completely different story to what I had imagined might have been the story. And as, you know, as the series has gone on, it's really just kind of grown and developed along with the people who have read it as well. You know, I've said to them, well, what do you want to read about? Who do you want to read about? And they'll say, oh, actually, I really want to hear from this character. And I go, oh, that's an interesting idea. And then it just kind of, you know, I mean, in fact, the Twin Flame Rebellion, when I first started writing that, it was really just from the point of view of two characters. And it was feeling a little bit sort of flat, you know, it didn't have many dimensions to it. And I went on Facebook and I was like, hey guys, any particular characters you want to hear from? and one of my readers sort of commented and said, oh, I'd love to hear from these ones. I was like, yes, that's perfect. And I actually went back, and I hardly ever do this, because once I start writing a book, I just keep going until I've finished it. But I went back over, I think it was like 11,000 words that I'd written, and I started to slot the scenes in between with these other characters, and it just fit perfectly, and it made so much more sense. And it was just so much more interesting and fun to write, because you had all these different viewpoints and all these different you know, characters and their stories. So yeah, it's, the series has become shaped by the people that I've met who have then become characters. And
it always goes back and forth.
And I'm just fantastic. Really looking forward to jumping into book 9. That's kind of, I'm just trying to get everything done so I can focus on writing that one. And I actually started writing a prequel as well to the Earth Angel Training Academy, so I'd like to do something with that. So I was trying to write about the characters before they got to the academy.
That idea.
We'll see, how that one goes.
Time is going by so fast.
We only know.
A little over 6 minutes. So I want to ask everybody the questions that I like to ask every time, so that they can be thinking about their music, and then we'll get back to talking about yours. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, Michelle, I feel like you are helping Earth Angels not only feel comfortable with being Earth Angels, helping them realize they are Earth Angels, and also realize who some of the other Earth Angels they know are in this life here. And so I just, even though these are works of fiction, I just think they're so valuable. And it's interesting because they're in between. I really like reading Nora Roberts' books because of the fact that she's a word colorist also. And you can see what she's seeing. You can feel what she's feeling in the books. And I especially like hers that are trilogies, or like the one that's four books. That's the Bride series. It's a quartet.
Okay.
Book. Because the thing is, you get to know the characters in the first book, and then
yeah.
they come in the next book and the next book, but there's like sort of stars in each book, you know, like the first book's on this character mainly, and then the second one's on this friend, and then the next one's on this friend, and the next one's on another friend. But the thing that's really cool is your books, to me, are like a blend of the things that I like to read about personal growth, spiritual growth, personal development, spiritual development, spirituality, positive attitude, law of attraction, all of that mixed in with these just incredible characters and incredible visuals that you help us see. And then, of course, just not knowing, I'm wondering constantly what's going to happen next. I was going to read part of the advanced copy before I did the show just so that I'd have an idea, and then I had already mm-hmm. ordered the book, and so I was going to wait and read it once I got the book since I pre-ordered it. But I couldn't put it down. I just kept going, oh my God, I wonder what's going to happen next. And that's pretty much the way it was with all of the books of yours. That's how I ended up reading all of the first eight of them last year. Mm-hmm. You know, and
well,
so people think I don't
basically
do
how,
yeah,
that's basically how it
meant.
Is for me, though. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, I'm excited
to write. Yeah, it's one of the things I love about your books, though, is that told me before is that you don't plan out, okay, this is going to happen, and then and you're having a whole outline of, you know, so it's not left brain writing. It's all coming really from your right brain and from your heart and from your connection with the universe, spirit, angels,
mm-hmm.
whoever, I don't know, but, you know, it's all fun and it's all good and it's all enjoyable. Now, we only have about 2.5 minutes left. So what advice do you have for our listeners?
I think the main theme of what we were talking about really is just find a way to become really, really comfortable with yourself, to become who you really are, really explore that. Don't sort of get lost in a relationship or in busyness or in to-do list or just the noise of social media and everything going on around you. Just really figure out who you really are and then try to live that as much as you can every day. I mean, you know, even though I feel really comfortable with who I am, I know that sometimes I, you know, become a certain sort of persona to fit into a different situations or scenarios. But I do try as much as I can every day to just be me. And I think, as we were saying before the show, it's for younger people, that's a lot more difficult, you know, because there's always that, oh, what are the people thinking of me? And, you know, what will so-and-so think of that? And to be honest, if everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, what does everybody think about me? Then
mm-hmm.
really nobody's thinking about you. So
they're thinking,
you know,
about
me,
what are they thinking about me? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, if everybody's thinking that, then nobody's actually thinking about you. So don't worry about it. And in fact, just earlier I was watching a movie, which I would definitely recommend to everybody. And it's kind of along these lines of just being yourself and not worrying what other people think of you. And it's called Hello, My Name is Doris.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen it. It's Sally Field.
No, I don't think so.
I actually saw it on the tour last year when we were in New York. We went to the cinema and we saw it as a tiny little theater. And I just loved it because she's just completely and utterly herself. And she has these crazy fantasies and this mad dress sense. And she's just herself. She's just Doris. And, you know, that's the kind of energy I think everyone could do with, you know, embodying just that completely and utterly comfortable and at home with who you are. So
I love that. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Michelle, for writing your books and for being back on my show today and just for all the love and beauty and joy and fun and creativity you add to life and inspiring all of us to use more of our creativity and our imagination as well. Thank you,
well,
everyone,
you're welcome, and thank
for
you.
Listening. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you so much. Everybody share this show with people and read these books. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you again, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me again. We'll have to do it again.
Yes, it's always fun. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone. Bye for now. I'll be back
Bye.
Next week. Bye. Bye.